Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The facts. We're gonna put out the facts about how we got where we are. And we're gonna put out the facts about what this board has done and what we've agreed to, which is nothing yet. And I want everyone to know this. I still support the master plan. That was the compromise, right? There's gonna be negotiations. There's gonna be back and forth. But I support that master plan. Will we get 100% of it? Is 100% of it economically viable? We'll see.
Well, so good to hear Commissioner Bergosh again saying that he supports the master plan from the outlying Landing Field 8 project on 9 Mile next to Navy Federal. And yet, of course, you heard him say, will we get 100% of it? Well, you know, time will tell. But at least, again, whatever else people might think about what the county commission wants to do with this project and what they're willing to do with this project and what compromises or corners they're willing to cut, the statements from the dais have been sticking with the master plan. Now, I know there was a time when they were, you know, well, kind of the master plan in principle, then they've kind of backed off that language. And, you know, again, he says it. And until there's something that indicates that that is not the case, then we'll just continue to believe that this is actually going to happen. Meanwhile, you have Teresa Blackwell, who has been sort of the other side of the aisle, if you want to call it that, from Commissioner Bergosh. And, you know, he wanted to have, you know, as he's many times said, I mean, nauseatingly many times said, well, I never wanted to have any houses on that project. Okay. Teresa Blackwell has been arguing for what I would call the citizen's view, which is the idea that there ought to be this mix, this blend of things, including some kind of a town center and amenities, and which he also wants. But, you know, not just thinking of it in terms of carving it off into houses over here and light industrial over there, but really thinking about a comprehensive plan for that area that's going to make it, you know, the kind of thing that you'd be excited to go to and live in and visit as an outsider and stay in if you happen to live there. Now, she said something kind of interesting on Thursday that I hadn't heard her say before. I'm not sure I agree with her about this, but it's an interesting proposal.
First, I'd just like to say that in order to slow this down, for one thing, sell just enough to pay back the LOST funds. Hold back as much as possible until the new Beulah exit is imminent. And we can attract something better than warehouses to the commercial area.
So what she's saying is, okay, carve off enough residential to sell and not just like sell to anybody, but still sell with standards and try to, you know, put design requirements in there that are going to make it the kind of place that you want to go to 10 years from now and not just another, you know, 100 tract homes that look like, you know, any subdivision street USA and crummy. You know, we want it to look good, want it to be really fantastic, but sell off enough of it to break even so that we don't have carrying costs basically from the project, and then we're kind of out from under the felt need to, you know, turn a buck over this thing, and instead let's hold on to the rest of it and kind of plan it and develop it and really get it right. You know, sell off enough of the estate that you inherited, sort of, it's not a terrible analogy, but, you know, sell off enough of the estate to pay off the debt of the estate, and then figure out what you want to do with the estate after that, is, I think, kind of her idea. And that makes sense. And also, not just now and then, but the then would be a significant change to the activity in that area, which is when the Beulah interchange to I-10 opens. In 8 years? 6 years? I don't know, in that vicinity? Okay? Because that's going to be one of the keys that's going to change economic development and the value of properties that will be so close to it off of Frank Reeder Road there. That makes sense, too. You know, or at least when it's imminent, you know, because when it's imminent, then you have businesses that are going to be willing to, you know, start there because the things like the shipping, the ability to put things on trucks and take them out to the I-10 is going to be wholly different than if you have to go, you know, even that little bit of 9 mile over to I-10. So it's an interesting proposal. I'm not sure if we can wait that long exactly or if that's a great idea, but it's an interesting way to think about the problem of paying off the debt and then also having what we want in the long run. Now, Jeff Bergosh had also talked about, and that's kind of what the context here was, having a town hall, bringing all the players together and having them talk with each other, including, you know, Horton and Sterling and, you know, all the residents. And she says, okay, if you're going to have a town hall.
And one other question, Mr. Bergosh, at that meeting, do we have DPZ or an enlightened planner of the new urbanist type like DPZ there to also offer their opinion? Because D.R. Horton is not the right kind of builder to build what we need.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll extend the same invitation to Marina Curry and DPZ. I don't know that they will come, but I want everyone to come.
And what she's getting at is if you have the town hall there, but the people who wrote the master plan, nobody's really representing them there or their idea or their way of thinking about the kinds of problems they're trying to solve, then we're still not having all of the proper people in the negotiation process. Now, will DPZ come? Will Marina Curry come after the kind of treatment that they have had from the county commission, who, just for a quick refresher in case you don't remember, were so personally wounded by the emails and the comments that DPZ had made about them and their dysfunction level, which is high. The level of the county commission dysfunction level is high in general and was very high over the forming of the master plan for OLF-8. And those emails got out, and then the commissioners got so hurt about it that they did everything they could. Stephen Berry in particular did everything he could, and he succeeded at preventing DPZ, this world-class design firm, from coming in and doing the whole master plan for all of Beulah, which would have been a perfect fit for them to do, and which, because of their prior engagement with the Beulah community and OLF-8, makes all the sense in the world. But because Jeff Bergosh and Stephen Berry got their feelings hurt about the emails, they charged the county more to do a project with a less effective designer than DPZ. So is DPZ under these circumstances going to be willing to, you know, kind of come back and help again for no pay? I mean, you know, one might hope. But hope is not a strategy, right? So finally, one thing that's come up quite a bit is the complaining about OLFA and D.R. Horton being chosen as the builder, because as anybody who knows who goes around, there are a lot of D.R. Horton builds in the area in both counties, and you don't typically see these builds and go, man, that looks awesome. What you see is, man, that looks the same. A lot of the same over and over and over again. And, you know, I've seen ones that I'm like, oh, that's horrifying if that's what we wind up putting out on OLF-8. But Jeff Bergosh says, look, D.R. Horton builds a lot of different kinds of homes at a lot of different price points and with a lot of different design requirements. And sure, you know, they are cheap and fast, right? That's kind of a lot of what they do. That doesn't mean that's the only thing that they do.
D.R. Horton builds an array of products. They have a product assortment. In this community, they built some tremendous homes in Huntington Creek. Huntington Creek, drive through Huntington Creek and look at the homes D.R. Horton has built. They build what they're required to build. Now, they wanted to get into Huntington Creek for a long time. I know this on firsthand knowledge, but they didn't want to build to the standards that Huntington Creek required. So Huntington Creek said, no, you're not going to be a builder in our community. Guess what? Well, D.R. Horton said, okay, well, we'll build your standards, and they did it. So they build a wide product assortment. Some of them are not the most aesthetically pleasing. I admit that. But to broad brush D.R. Horton, other parts of the country where they're held to a standard, they can build incredible houses. Now, I'm not their spokesman, but I don't want people broad brushing it, because right here in this community, I've seen houses that they've built in Huntington Creek, and they're very, very nice.
Now, I will say this. I think I have been in Huntington Creek back when it was kind of under development, you know, like when it was just being open. And the problem now is you can't go there. If you let, because I was trying to think, well, where was that exactly, and what do they look like? And for example, you know, Google Street View doesn't go there. It's a gated community, okay? So you can't even go look because the Google Street View is not there, and unless you manage to get in when they have the gate open or somebody lets you in or something like that, it's, you know, it's a hard thing to verify. Plus, I'm betting that the homes don't come with a sign on the front right now that says, hey, this one was from D.R. Horton, and that one, you know, so it's hard.
Google Street View can't go into gated communities? I didn't
know
that.
No, wow. No, they won't go into gated communities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, okay. And like I said, I think I remember the community. My wife and I, this is back at the beginning days of our bike riding days. And, you know, we had biked in there, but I don't remember it all that well. And I certainly don't remember it enough to be able to say, well, that was a Horton, that was not a Horton, or how many Hortons were from Horton. So I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying it's hard to know what it means unless he's got like pictures of houses that they did that look fantastic that we can say, oh, that's available. But I think the takeaway, regardless, is, yeah, if there's some design standards for these homes where you look at them and you think, man, that's fantastic. That's going to last a while. That's going to be not ugly in 10 years. Great. You know, and how can we make sure that that happens on OLF 8? Because remember, what is Horton going to want to do? They're going to want to go cheap and fast and get their money out, right? And how do we make sure that that doesn't happen? And what standards will they agree to that they'd be willing to take the project off of us at what price? I mean, these are all things into the negotiation. So a good note, I'll just say it that way, because I think he's probably right that, you know, if you are willing to put standards in, then you can make them play ball. If they're willing to and they believe they can get enough profit to make it worth them bidding on the project. And again, every time we make their slice of it smaller, that's less of their profit. And so if we make their slice smaller, number of acres smaller, and if we put design standards in that also limit their profit, you see where this is going. At a certain point, they don't say yes to the deal or they don't pay as much for the deal. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of homes, not so much the building of them, but the selling and the buying of them, Christina Leavenworth is fantastic. I mean, just fantastic. You know, every year she sells more homes than the year before, and last year it was over 230. And so, you know, she's already on pace to sell more than that. And I talk about her selling homes, you know, within a day or two. That's common. It's not every time, but, you know, this the environment has changed in a year. Okay, it used to be almost every time, like same day, next day. Now it's, you know, often in a day or two. Often above list price, not always. It used to be kind of always. Now it's just sort of, you know, common. But the thing that I always do is I talk so much about the selling that if you've got a home and you want to sell it, you hear what I'm talking about. But maybe you're moving up from an apartment or you rent a house now and you want to buy a house and you don't really pay attention because you're like, oh, I don't have a house to sell. Okay, she's the great one to help you buy a house, especially for the first time. Because what do you want if you're a first-time home buyer? You want somebody that really understands, that'll really hold your hand through the process, that'll really make sure and look out for your interest and catch the things that they're expected to catch if there's anything weird going on. You want to make sure you've got that on your side, and that's Christina Leavenworth because she knows the seller side. She knows how to negotiate. She knows what they will and won't negotiate on. She knows what price other people are likely to offer, what is a right price for that home in this market. And even if it's on a new build, she tells me that she can negotiate on those and get good deals, even on new construction. You might think that's just like a, you know, off-the-shelf retail price. It's not. You know, everything is a negotiation, especially these days. So if you're getting ready to buy that home for the first time or just buy a home, period, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time, and it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life, from carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. See store for details.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at nervivehealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Who loves you, baby? You're beautiful.
You have an unusual problem, Jane. You obviously want me.
Good morning, 525 here on News Radio 92.3. Quick, Candy, East Coast or West Coast? Go. West Coast? All right.
For this song, no, but I'm an East Coast
guy. General, yeah. I'm probably a little bit more East Coast myself. Wait, I don't know what. Is Three Fingers good or bad? I'm not sure what neighborhood that comes from.
You know what? I'm probably going to get shot. I don't know.
Is that the East Hill? East Hill gang sign? Is that what that is?
No, so, not anymore. You know there are gangs? That just blew my mind.
I know. There really are. It's so sad. Funny. Okay, 525 on News. Time to move on to some other stuff. 525, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The man accused of stabbing four University of Idaho students due in court today. A grand jury indicted Brian Koberger in the murders of Maddie Mogan, Kaylee Gonsalves, Zana Kerbodel, and Ethan Chapin at their college house last November. According to court documents, the 28-year-old Washington State University graduate's DNA was found on a knife sheath at that crime scene. The pilots' union and American Airlines have now come to terms to avoid a strike just in time for the busy summer travel season. Members of the pilots' union did vote in favor of authorizing a potential strike earlier this month. A union representative says that the pilots now feel supported after they've reached an agreement with the airline. And talks on raising the debt ceiling set to resume at the White House today. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the president agreed to sit down with him during a call between the two. Biden headed home from the G7 summit in Japan today.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you've been hearing this news all morning, I would figure, and since yesterday, if you've been paying attention, that SpaceX sent some folks up into space again to the International Space Station, including Saudi Arabia. They've got a Saudi Arabian first woman astronaut, first woman in space from Saudi Arabia, sent with a minder, a man. no, that's true. But also, you might have thought, at least I also thought, so maybe we thought alike, that, isn't it nice that they're not allowed to drive, but they can go to space, right? You know, because that's historically Saudi Arabia. Women can't drive. They can't get driver's licenses. They actually can. They can. Since 2018, I looked it up because I was curious. But yeah, they are allowed to get driver's licenses. However, as of a couple of years after that, I think 2020 was one of the articles I was looking at, 2% of all the women in Saudi Arabia had driver's licenses. So the difference between, you know, oh, sure, you're allowed, and how many actually are allowed or how many actually do, you know, is it they want to and they're not allowed? Is it they don't want to? I mean, like, it's possible that 98% of the women in Saudi Arabia just don't have any interest in driving. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, look, teenagers these days don't have an interest in driving, you know, so could be or could be. They want to drive, and they're still getting told no by their man governors, right? 528 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, there's a couple of really interesting stories, military stories. This one is a bad story. It has to do with suicides in the Navy. And it's particularly on aircraft carriers that are in rehabilitation refurbishment, that are in dock, basically, that the number is really high. And I'll tell you, I have read the story. I don't fully understand it, but basically what they're saying is that the situation, like for the USS George Washington, 9 sailors last year, according to the United States Naval Institute, sailors assigned a nearly 6-year-long maintenance period. So that's been at Newport News. They have to deal with poor living conditions, long commutes of up to 3 hours. And they've been kept away from their families and peers while living in the shipyard while the ship is in dock, and all exaggerated or exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, all concerns of which were ignored by Navy leadership. So it's kind of all bad all around. But yeah, and they're trying to do, you know, better now to understand the needs and concerns about these sailors. But according to the Navy statistics, sailors on aircraft carriers in maintenance are 57% of the deaths that they are suffering. So there is something about being on a carrier, and you would not think, you know, in dock, like, how could that possibly be the problem? But again, apparently it is. And of 42 total deaths, 9 alone were from the George Washington. From 2017 to 2022, over the course of 5 years, 18 suicides from sailors who were not in maintenance scenarios, and 15 were from those who were, and 9 of them were from sailors just alone on the George Washington. So that's just, you know, is Navy doing enough to watch out for the mental health of their sailors under what is apparently a much harsher condition than being deployed? And the answer is, well, time will tell, because so far, the answer is no, not really. So we'll be back in just a moment. David Wayne, I'll have your local news next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm TJ Papa. A critical meeting at the White House on the docket today between the House Speaker and President Biden, with the potential economic meltdown on their plates. Fox's Alexandria Hoff.
June 1st is the date that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has given for when the debt limit must be resolved. If not, a default with worldwide implications would follow.
New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew.
You don't help the economy. You don't create economic activity by taxing people more.
The Republican on Fox News Live met a slap with a record $1.3 billion fine by the European Union's lead privacy and regulator, Ireland's Data Protection Commissioner, coming down on Meta over concerns that Facebook's parent company is transferring users' data to the United States. Meta called it unjustified and an unnecessary fine. It's seeking a stay of the orders through the courts. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. I'm David Wayne. It's News Radio 92.3, 531, 71 degrees, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. One person has died after a drive-by shooting. This happened on Paula Avenue over the weekend. The sheriff's office says it happened about 6:30 on Saturday. Two people were shot, one victim hit in both the stomach and the leg, and that person died while being treated at the hospital. A second victim hit in the leg, that person was treated and released. And so far, the sheriff's office says there are no suspects. A Pensacola woman arrested after a traffic crash on Saturday, and police say she tried to run from the scene. 50-year-old Terry Lynn Sanders is charged with a habitual offense of driving with a suspended license, and police say Sanders was involved in a crash on Cervantes in North Spring Street, then got out, ran away. Officers found and detained her nearby. Sanders was taken to the Escambia County Jail on $2,500 bond. A SpaceX rocket launching from Kennedy Space Center yesterday with a live crew.
2, 1, engines full power, and lift off Falcon 9. Go Axiom.
Copy, 1 Alpha.
Together we expand what is possible in low Earth orbit. Ad Astra and Godspeed AX2.
And 4 passengers, including 3 paying passengers on a Falcon 9 rocket, now headed to the International Space Station. The AX2 mission makes history as a stem cell researcher becomes the first woman from Saudi Arabia to travel to space. It also marks the second all-private mission to the International Space Station. More people apparently finding work here in Florida. The Department of Economic Opportunity released its monthly jobs report last Friday. The number of unemployed Floridians in April fell by 2,000 from the month before, the unemployment rate standing at 2.6%, which is below the national unemployment rate of 3.4%. And a Flemington man facing charges after allegedly trying to sneak meth into the Escambia County Jail. 31-year-old Caleb Eli Turk arrested on an Alabama warrant while being booked into the jail. Turk allegedly told deputies he didn't have anything on him, but then they found a bag of meth in his waistband. He's now awaiting extradition on his warrant. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Warm and humid day today with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. 40% chance of rain overall with a high near 88. Overnight tonight, temperatures are going to be dropping near 70 degrees. For Tuesday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 83. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 71 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 70 right now in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Red Tail Live presents a multimedia experience that's out of this world. Laser Invasion. Suit up for a fantastical journey through the multimedia cosmos of our imagination. Powered by a full battery of high-tech lasers, state-of-the-art lighting, out-of-this-world video, and concert-quality sound. Laser Invasion. Featuring the music of David Bowie, Queen, The Police, Portishead, Soundgarden, and more.
Coming to the Sanger Theater on June 22nd. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I do just want to kind of sit here and keep air drumming. That's one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites. It's not best. One that got much air time exactly, but it's just like
title track. So great.
Oh man. 538 News Radio 92.3 Van Halen off of OU812, by the way. Or no, sorry, off of 5150. What is the
title track? 5150.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Who are you even?
I don't know, you know. I was actually having this conversation with somebody the other day who was saying very hurtful things about Styx. had made the comment about Kilroy was here, like, that wasn't really a great album, and, you know, divided a lot of the fans. And I'm like, okay, but see it from my perspective just for a moment, mm-hmm. Okay? That was the era when I became introduced to Styx.
Sure, a lot of 80s kids
found Styx with that, and then kind of backed up a little bit, and I listened to my stepdad's copy of Grand Illusion, and then,
Paradise Theater,
right, and started working your way back, and Equinox, and, you know, Cornerstone, and, you know, at Styx 1, you start to be like, is this the same band still? Anyway,
it's
you know.
It's different, right?
And, of course, later on, it was not the same band at all, but so to me, you know, the album that you got exposed to the band on is kind of like the one you love. Even though objectively, you know, it's not the best one. And, but I'm not saying that for Van Halen. Van Halen, it was 1984 for me. And then, you know, you kind of following that forward, you had 5150, you know, OU812. And then you go backwards and you start working through Diver Down and Women mm-hmm. and Children First and Fair Warning. And then you get to one and you're like, oh, good God, this is, oh, do it again.
Right?
You know, do it again.
Some bands are like that.
Yeah, that's right. So, five, I don't know, just, you know, these are the things that occupy my brain. 539 on News Radio 92.3, informative, sometimes local, mostly, and dependable. Yeah. I mean, yeah, right? Dependable?
Local.
Sure, yeah, whatever. Okay. Oh, had a... Had a really interesting weekend. I don't know about you, but we had fun. So my wife and I go bike riding every weekend for a couple of hours, as I've told you many times. You probably get sick of hearing it. But I always figure that there's new people joining, and I don't want them to be like, what's he talking about? So we go bike around, and we have biked all of Escambia County, most of Santa Rosa County. We're up to Chemukla in Santa Rosa, moving from south to north. And my wife's like, well, let's, before the universe gets 90 degrees, let's go to some places that are a little bit farther away just for fun. And so, we've been going to Destin. We've been biking in Destin. I mean, we went to like
it's beautiful,
Seaside about a month ago. And
oh,
it was
I've never been. Where they filmed Truman Show?
That's right.
Is it as pretty as?
Seaside's an interesting place. On the one hand, it's a planned community. It's gorgeous. It's fabulous. On the other hand, there's 1,000 reminders that you don't belong here. You can't park here. You can't go to that beach. There's locked gates on that beach. It's got a very snooty air to it. It's like that. And so, I don't know. I like Seaside and I dislike Seaside. Riding around, you see some fascinating homes and some variety, some not variety. It is an interesting place. You ought to go. You ought to go the one time. We've been there twice now, I think, ever. Anyway, so we were in Destin over the weekend, so we're biking in Destin. And then we had never gone to the snorkel reefs in Navarre, the kind of the newish one that's, and I say newish because I don't know exactly when it got done, but it's not filled out. And so we didn't know what to expect. And it's basically in Navarre Beach, if you go down across the causeway and then you turn east and you head into the kind of, undeveloped area, you go to where all the pavilions are, and then you go all the way to the easternmost pavilion. And there's like a separate boardwalk over that one. It's got the Moby mats on it. And it's got these white poles in the dunes. That's the one you want to go for. And if you go out to the beach there, about 300 or 400 feet off the beach, off of the, waterline, is where there's this kind of man-made sunken structures. And again, we didn't know what to expect, so I was kind of hoping for something that would be, statues or polygons or... I wasn't thinking there was likely to be a battleship out there. No, I mean, I knew there wasn't. But, you don't know what to expect. Well, the reefs themselves are actually very boring. It's basically, it's not full, okay? But what happens is it's these, 3-foot diameter donuts, concrete donuts, that they can stack on top of each other. And so they start at the bottom, and then a company or somebody comes in and sponsors one, and they put another one, and then they put another one in. And then over time, of course, you have things that grow on there, and the fish come, and they play in it, and whatever. And it's interesting. It's an easy swim. If you've got, I would recommend that if you're going to go, I wouldn't go without fins, And we went on a green flag day, so it's a very easy swim. Snorkel and fins, and you're fine. It's very shallow going out there. I mean, this is at a depth of like 15 feet, maybe, so it's not that big of a deal. And, if you're worried about going in the Gulf, and if you're not a strong swimmer, again, go on a green flag day, take fins and a snorkel, you'll be fine. We go out there, and I didn't exactly know what to expect, but I'm looking at them like, oh, this is kind of cool. There's a lot of fish, and it's not that far down to dive to look at them. But it wasn't awesome. I don't know what I had in my head, but I was thinking it was going to be more variety, bigger fish, more colorful, something like that. It was good. Okay. And then it became great because I saw the first, and I don't know how this is possible, but I saw the first sea turtle that we've ever seen that was even remotely of the size. This is probably a 300 or 400 pounder. And he was just down right between one of the reefs looking up at me. And I thought, I'm just going to keep my distance. I mean, I know turtles are generally okay, but he's looking at me and I think he wins this encounter. And he had a whole array. He had like a whole entourage of fish swimming around with him, and like everywhere he or she, went, the fish went with him. And, I'm like, wife, come over here, look. And she got there and looked, and then he was kind of swimming away from her. But that was amazing to see. It was really, really cool to see for, 20 minutes. I'm just staring at him like, I can't stop looking.
Were they singing like a Disney movie?
No, there's none of that. So then we got out, and we went over to the pier, and this is another one that I have to say, I just have to confess it. Never been out in Navarre Pier before. I think I've only been out on the Pensacola Pier like once.
Same, because when we're out there, we're working.
You're right, yeah. Typically, or I'm at the show, or whatever, right. So it's just not, for whatever reason. So we went out on the pier, and we're just walking. I'll tell you, so one thing, obviously, there's a lot of fishermen. you know, that are fishing off the pier. And which seems like, I know sometimes that's a really good endeavor. Sometimes it seemed like I didn't see anybody catch anything other than little fish. That, you know, and we were out there for maybe an hour, and it seemed like it wasn't the most productive day to be fishing. But what we did see is out on the pier, we saw a bunch of turtles again. There was, you know, I don't know, five or six different ones, you know, juveniles, adults, you know, and it was just really cool. And in fact, I ran into a guy. It was kind of funny because there was a guy sitting there in one of his, like a golf cart that had a hook and crane kind of apparatus, a pulley off the back. And he was with the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Rescue, just a volunteer. And so my wife, playing reporter, starts talking to him and asking him questions. I'm like, well, this is my job. so you know, later on, well, I suppose we could play it now. I'll play this later on. But the guy's name was Phil Agnew. And we learned a ton about what they do. Because what I was thinking is, well, what happens when you hook a turtle? You know, it's what, I don't know, 50 feet down to the water, 60 feet down to the water. You're not pulling up a turtle on your line. And if they got a hook in them, you don't want them to get away. Like, what do you do? Like, this is, and people even like to throw their lines close to the turtles because a lot of times the fish that swim with the turtles, they think they're going to catch something. Well, what if you hook a turtle? So, which you're not supposed to do, obviously. So anyway, I talked with him for a bit. So here's a little bit of that interview.
Yeah. All right, so we're here at Navarre Pier with Ralph Agnew. He is with the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation and Rescue. And you guys basically park out here at the end of the pier and hope nobody catches a turtle. But if they do, what do you do?
Well, we'll tell the fishermen how to handle the line, when to bring it in, try to wear that turtle down. Then we take the rescue net, which is a 4x3.5 net, and we lower it down, and we get the fishermen to maneuver that turtle into the net. Then we raise it up about a foot out of the water, tie it off, and then we're back to UTV up to the edge of the pier, and we'll put the rope through the block up here and then hoist them up.
Yeah,
and
I was wondering how you get them up. They're so heavy, but they can be.
Yeah, we'll use that horse there and bring them up, and we'll get them up here, put them in the back of the UTV, and then take them over to the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation Center and do an initial assessment on them. In the meantime, we'll be getting a hold of FWC Stranding, and they'll tell us where to take that turtle.
And now, some people might catch a turtle, and they think, maybe I'll just cut the line. That's the best thing to do. But that's not what you want them to do, right?
That's exactly right. We don't want them to cut the line, because if you do cut the line, you know, it's 30 feet down to the water. And if they cut it and it's way out, so he's got 50 feet of line, let's say, on him, and he's swimming around and goes around one of these pylons and gets stuck, that turtle's going to drown.
So you want them to tire him out, get your help. Yep. Bring them up, and then you can evaluate them, and if they need to be worked on, because I assume you bring them in sometimes they've got more than one hook in them, right?
Exactly. Sometimes a hook pops out here. We take them over to Gulfarium. They x-ray them. There'll be four or five hooks on the inside of them. The signs we have here, the phone number is the gift shop at the end of the pier, at the start of the pier, and they know how to contact us through an app.
And they're in just what, looking for food, basically?
Looking for food, yes, looking for food.
And I did see, I assume that it's illegal to try to catch them. You're not allowed to take them, right? It's illegal?
Illegal, yeah.
And I saw somebody casting towards one, but I couldn't tell if he thought maybe there were fish around that would be more like, because I see fish travel with the sea turtles, right?
Yes, cobia travel with these big, larger sea turtles, and some of these fishermen will actually try to cast off to the side of that turtle to try to lure that cobia out from under.
And that's okay, just as long as they're not,
As long as they don't hook them, yes. Yeah, as long as they don't hook them.
And how often does somebody hook a turtle up in here?
Well, last night we got one like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
And yesterday we got one off the beach weighed over 200 pounds.
Wow, so kind of like once a day maybe is relatively common?
And for every one we rescue, we probably get 10 calls where the line breaks or it pulls loose.
Wow. So any advice to people who want to come out here and fish and just, you know, how they can best take care of those turtles and make sure they don't cause any problems?
Well, if they do get hooked, have them call the end of the pier with the
phone number that's up there.
Phone number, and either the pier marshals will come down or we'll come down. The pier marshals have their own net.
Okay.
And so what they'll do is they'll net it. And then they'll take it a foot out of the water and tie it off so they're not touching the turtle. And then we'll come down with the UTV, and then we'll hoist it up.
And there's somebody like you, as long as there's volunteers, there's somebody like you at every pier along the Panhandle Coast, basically?
Well, I don't know about the rest of the piers, but on this pier, this way it is here. Yes.
Well, Ralph, thanks for what you do. Thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it, man.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, he was great. And basically sitting there in a kind of a glorified golf cart with a improvised homemade, they had to make the equipment that they use because it didn't really exist. I mean, you're trying to lift a 200-pound turtle. You can't do that as well by hand, you know. So they basically had this kind of pulley and, you know, crane system off the back of this thing that they can use to lower down these nets. And there's even a couple of signs up that tell you what to do. There's a number to call, which is good for assistance. You gently reel it in, keep the turtle at the surface water level. Don't lift it up because it'll, you know, get further injury. Lower the net provided by the pier into the water and slide it underneath the turtle. These are the actual instructions at the pier. Keep the turtle close to the surface of the water. Move the animal to the beach and out of the surf zone. So you're just kind of controlling them over to you're not trying to lift them all the way up. You're just kind of controlling them into land. Keep it in the shade or replace a wet towel over the shell until the help arrives. Trim the excess fishing line, you know, leaving a foot or two. Don't attempt to remove the hook or the line because they want to be able to do that themselves. And then, you know, refer to pier management or sea turtle for help, other instructions. And it's sometimes funny, Candy, you know this, working in radio as long as you have. Mm-hmm. As soon as you turn off the recorder, that's when the gold happens.
Absolutely.
And you try to get people to reduplicate it. It doesn't work. So one thing he told us is that one of the problems you have is people will dump their excess bait when they're done for the day.
Yeah.
They dump the bait over. Well, that's food for the turtles, so that draws them in more. So that's not a good thing particularly for them. The other one is I noticed on his leg he had what looked like a bite, you know, a circular bite pattern.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, so tell me the story about that bite. That looks like a, you know, some kind of a animal bit you. And he's like, so we had a guy in a kayak hooked a turtle. And this turtle dragged the kayaker into shore.
I bet.
Which makes sense, sure. You know? And so the turtle gets into shore, and then they're, you know, maneuvering the turtle into the vehicle so they can get him over to the Gulf Aaron, basically. And, you know, the turtle bit him in the leg. And I'm like, the turtle bit you in the leg. He's like, well, when they get agitated,
yeah.
Like anything else. I'm like, that's why I left the one 15 feet away from me in the bottom of the Gulf floor there. 6552 on News Radio 92.3. Just, you know, I love meeting these fascinating people. And it's so funny because I was talking with them and he's like, you know, and I'm like, so I did this radio show. He's like, oh, you know, what station? I told him. He's like, oh, wait, I think I have listened to you. And then he was texting me later yesterday. He's like, you know, I was telling everybody about this and they didn't believe me. I'm like, well, we took a picture. You can prove it to him. He was like, I know, I got it.
Oh, that's so great.
Just, you know,
that's
really adorable. These are the adorable people that kind of just fill in the gaps where there's a need and do stuff in our community.
Sure.
And I love them.
That's what I've seen their tents at, like, so many different events. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You have to stop by and talk to them next time. That's cool.
Fascinating folks.
Yeah.
And just volunteer, you know?
Right.
So
that's right.
He and other people are out there just volunteering because they believe in it, right? And
mm-hmm.
that makes the world work.
That's
552
cool.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, let me recommend Frontier Motors because there's a lot of reasons, okay? A lot of reasons why. One is, you know, a lot of people have gone there before. Like, they've been around for more than 25 years. I think, honestly, I use that number. It's probably more like 28 now. I just haven't updated my notes. So, you know, they've been around for a long time. And you can tell they have helped a lot of people because when you're driving around, you'll see the little license plate, you know, frames or the little stickers on the bumper that say Frontier Motors. And I have a challenge for you. And the challenge is when you're looking around, like in the next couple of days, just kind of say, see if I can find them. Make it like, you know, the hunting game while you're driving, because what else are you going to do? You listen to me. You want to look at the cars. So you'll notice, like today, you'll probably notice a couple. And then tomorrow you'll notice a couple more. And probably by about Thursday, you're like, did anybody buy cars from anywhere else? It's going to feel that way. And that's kind of my point, is it's not just Dave Ramsey and me who recommend them. It's all of these people all around you driving these cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than, again, 28, I think, years, something like that. Right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Climatech.
We've all heard the saying, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. In the Florida Panhandle, it's both. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. While we can't do a whole lot about the heat and humidity outside your home, we can make a big difference in the comfort and humidity inside your home. Our high-efficiency comfort systems are designed to reduce humidity, save on energy cost, be better for the environment, at the same time, keeping your home more comfortable. Combine that with instant rebates up to $1,200 and available energy tax credits up to $2,000, and a new high-efficiency comfort system is the way to go when your home needs a new system. Want to know more? Give me a call.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Tune in this Friday to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Sergeant First Class Lawrence Lee with Pace Army Recruiting will be on the show discussing how the United States Army has training to open new doors and pathways to success. Learn how you can serve in the ranks of the enlisted through the Army's active duty and reserves, or see if you qualify for the officer or warrant officer candidacy programs. That's Friday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's up-and-coming blues and soul singer Jordan Chase. Jordan was featured on The Voice and American Idol. He's currently working on his first album with a Grammy Award-winning team from Nashville. See Jordan Chase at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
I don't know where to go.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Are you the Judean People's Front?
Judean People's Front? Well, the People's Front of Judea.
You know how sometimes these movie clips have to be edited pretty carefully? You just have to make sure and play the parts you can play, according to the FCC. 5:57 here on News Radio, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates says communication between the U.S. and China is the key to avoid a catastrophic conflict. He talked to CBS's Face the Nation. He said that the U.S. historically maintained communication with adversaries during tense times. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the city of Bakhmut was not occupied by Russia as of yesterday. He was at the G7 summit in Japan. He said Ukrainian soldiers are keeping on and fighting. And a tragic story coming out of Indiana. A father has died. Two kids were hurt. Apparently a hand grenade exploded in a home. Apparently it happened on Saturday. The family was looking through a grandfather's old belongings, found the grenade. Somebody pulled the pin and it exploded. Terrible story there.
This is the part of this. It's an awful tragedy. This is the thing I do not understand is who in their right mind pulls the pin for what reason?
Well, a lot of people would probably just assume that it's an inert grenade, because who would bring a live grenade into their home?
Exactly. But there it is. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, you know, I wonder if this gun works. Here, let me point it at my head and pull the trigger and see what happens. Like, why? You know, why would you do that? I'm with you. You know, people probably make the assumption that, you know, certainly grandpa wouldn't have brought back a live grenade. Okay. I mean, okay. You know, things can go off a lot later. David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, that's just, I saw that starting and thought, oh, Lord, the horrible things that happen just because people aren't really thinking through the implications of their actions. But there it is. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around.
Your home for Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 is News Radio 92.3.